This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello, we're here for more Happier, a podcast where we get more
happier. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Gretch.
So today we're going to talk about House of the Dragon and ponder the question of what makes something a great sequel or also prequel. But first, something making us more happier. Elizabeth, what's something making you happier, more happier, or just plain happy?
Something making me more happier, Gretch, is that I feel like for the first time in quite a while, I have my blood sugar numbers under control.
Oh, yay! That's such a thing for you.
I know. And I just, for whatever reason, went through this period where I just couldn't get a handle on it. And then, I don't know, suddenly something just clicked in my brain. And now I feel like my numbers are really good, like on a daily basis. I'm waking up with a good number. And, you know, for type 1 diabetic, it's all about my A1C, and that the A1C is a result of kind of your blood sugar levels for a 3-month period.
Well, no, I remember when your whole one word theme of the year was number 6 because you were
right.
Yeah. Is this because, now I know you're having your summer of health. Do you think, is this something that you're doing as part of summer of health, or it's kind of unrelated? I mean, it certainly fits summer health.
No, definitely part of my summer of health was wanting to get my numbers in order. And so I'm eating a lot better. In fact, Gretch, I have to report to you, just before we recorded, I made gazpacho. So I have gazpacho chilling in the fridge.
Love gazpacho.
Which is, you know, a great thing to eat for a diabetic. But mom used to make gazpacho all the time. And, you know, I love her gazpacho. Not as good as hers, but I have to say this turned out pretty well. So I'm very pleased with myself. Now, granted, I was going to make it in June and it took till now, but I did it.
The best time to make gazpacho is 3 months ago. The second best time is now.
Yes.
Well, that's great, because I know this is something that is definitely like on your high priority list of things.
Yes. And you know, the thing about it is it's like a marathon, but a marathon that never ends. It's like being in a marathon the rest of your life. So there's just times when it's harder and easier, and I've clicked into a good time. So
that's great.
That's making me happy. What is making you happy?
Well, I have a big anniversary. You know, it is the 5th anniversary of my book, The Four Tendencies.
Yes.
It's been 5 years. And we did a lot on Happier with Gretchen Rubin about The Four Tendencies. But I just do want to stop and acknowledge the anniversary for myself, because I used to never notice. I never paid attention to pub dates or anything. And I do find, you know, we've talked a lot about the ta-da list and taking time to appreciate milestones. And in even a very prolific person doesn't write that many books in their life.
Right.
And so I feel like I want to give myself a sense of kind of remembering what I've done. And also, you know, I create all this stuff that I'm super excited about, and I want to remember to talk about it. Now, I talk about The Four Tendencies a lot just because I still am so engaged in it. But all my stuff, I'm like, oh, I don't want to forget about this, my whole thing, because I'm super excited about it. So it's good to look back, just so it keeps it fresh in my mind. So that is making me happy.
Good. I mean, Gretch, from my point of view, I'm like, what did we talk about before we had the four tendencies? It seems like I was born with talking about the four tendencies.
Well, see, this is the thing about the four tendencies. Like when I was creating it and coming up with it, I was like, surely somebody came up with this. So somebody noticed this. This is, once you know what to look for, it is so obvious. You see it.
Yeah.
Movies, TV, people around you, little kids. I mean, it's just really, really blatant. And I kept thinking, okay, this is not mine. Like, I'm going to find out that somebody's got this whole big thing that they're like selling to gigantic businesses. And no. So well, I know. It feels like it stretches back to eternity, but it's only been 5 years.
It does. Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's great.
It's actually earlier because I came up with it for Better Than Before. It was really when I was thinking about habit formation for Better Than Before. So I actually came up with it longer than 5 years ago. So it's really the 5th anniversary of the book being published, where I'd already thinking about it for years by then. But whatever. I mean.
Yes. Well, congrats. That's amazing. It's a great system.
Thank you. And by the way, if you haven't taken the quiz, go to quiz.gretchenrubin.com and take the quiz because it's so fun.
Yes. All right. Well, coming up, we are going to talk about House of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves the Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping.
Okay, quality screen time. TV makes us happy. So, Elizabeth, you and I loved Game of Thrones.
Yes, we did.
I also read the books. You did not read the books, but we both loved, loved, loved the show.
Yes. And now HBO has House of the Dragon, not as I was calling it for a long time, House of Dragons. It's House of the Dragon about the Targaryens.
Yeah, that's the Daenerys house.
Yes, the blonde house.
Yeah, silver hair.
And, silver. Yes. Yeah. And so let's just talk. What do we think? What do we like? What do we not like? I'll just come off the bat and say, after 2 episodes, I am definitively hooked. I will watch it every night when it comes out.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm really into it. I love being back in that world. Like, I think there's certain worlds people like to be in. Like, some people really like to be in a world of crimes, or like of hospitals, or, you know, they just like an English manor. But I really like fantasy.
Like to be in Westeros.
I love being in Westeros again. I do love the dragons. I love the pomp and the circumstance. Like, I really like it when they have sort of the traditions and the religion and like the house sigils and the mottos. And, you know, I do like the world building. I really like George R. R. Martin's, the world that he has built. And so it's very exciting to be back in that world and in a different place in that world.
Yeah. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, it takes place 200 years before Game of Thrones begins. So none of those people are alive. It's sort of how they got to where they are.
Well, you know, one thing you mentioned, Elizabeth, and I 100% agree with you, is the opening.
Yes. Having the music, yes. Having that Game of Thrones sound.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's exactly the same. Is it exactly the same or is it a variation?
That's a great question. If it's not exactly the same, it's very, very close.
And whenever I hear it, like my blood starts pumping, you know, it's like definitely a Pavlov's dog situation. Yeah.
The rest of the music, I don't recognize any of the, because we definitely had the like Faceless Men music and the different kind of musical themes. And it was interesting, like that opening sequence of Game of Thrones was so cool, the way it would like kind of go through the map. And now they're doing it different. It sort of looks the same, but it's a very different thing that they're doing. But here's the thing. Okay, so I am listening to commentary. I am listening to the official House of the Dragon podcast, which I really like. I'm listening to Mallory Rubin is a commentator I love. I loved her binge mode that she did about Game of Thrones. And now she's got a new one called House of Ard that she's doing with Joanna Robinson, who's another big pop culture commentator. And on one of these podcasts, I forget which one, somebody said, okay, you know how the king is building that model?
Yes.
Maybe he's building the model that will be the opening sequence.
I have also heard commentators comment on that possibility. Yes.
Yeah.
Gretch, I'm also listening. I am listening to, so I have a show I love called Watch What Crappens, which is usually about all things Bravo, but now they're doing Winter is Crappening, and it is about House of the Dragon. So I'm also listening to commentary, and they were saying that they have heard, many speculating that model may become part of the show.
Well, that's interesting. I don't understand why the blood is like unlocking the wheels or something, gears or whatever, but maybe all will be revealed. Here's a fun fact. I don't even remember how I stumbled across this. You can learn High Valyrian on Duolingo. Apparently more than 500,000 people are learning High Valyrian. It's like a true created language.
That is amazing. Gretch, if we were really committed, we would learn and then we would do a bonus podcast speaking in High Valyrian.
We won't do that, but it would be amazing if we did. But, you know, do you think, I mean, you write TV. Do you think that there must be all this enormous pressure on the people who are creating this, not only because of all the money and all the expectations, but if you're thinking there's a whole industry now built around, I mean, you and I, between the two of us, we listen to 3-4 podcasts that are just basically recap commentary podcasts, and it's only 2 episodes in. Like, we don't even know if it's good.
Right. I can't imagine the pressure they're under. I mean, my body like seizes up.
Yeah.
And you know, there are other Game of Thrones spinoffs. One that would star Kit Harington and like one that's part of the Game of Thrones world time-wise about Jon Snow. And this had the highest opening ever for HBO.
Yeah.
Just under 10 million. They then renewed it for season 2. So you know it's sticking around. And then episode 2, Gretch, the ratings went up. That never happens in TV. You almost always get your highest rating. I mean, unless it's like a huge show, the series finale.
Right.
But almost always a show debuts and then it goes down. So this show debuted and then it went up the next week. So, of course, you know, just as a TV writer, that interests me.
Well, Ben, and one thing that I always remember that you told me is that pilots are really hard. And so you really, like, if there's a show where you want to watch it and then you're kind of disappointed with the pilot, give it a couple episodes. And then why are pilots so hard?
Well, just trying to get all that information in, like you have to introduce everyone, which requires exposition. And exposition is just sort of a TV killer, right? The less exposition, the better.
Right.
And then you need to sort of get far enough in to get people hooked, but you haven't established enough to like have these hooks. So it's really hard. Like even this, the first episode, I would say I enjoyed less than the second episode. And in the first episode, and still to some degree, like, I don't know if I'm as in love with any character as I was with Tyrion, played by Peter Dinklage. Like, to me, that's like my favorite television character of all time, except for maybe Don Draper. So, but in the second episode, I started really feeling those connections to the characters because you know them better. You know, it's just hard to get to know someone, especially when there's so many.
But so here's the thing I was thinking, like, it really does. It's like, okay, we talked about Mad Men, too, like, as a show that we both love. And both those shows had, like, the person who was, like, incredibly witty. And I can't remember the name of the character in Mad Men, but it was the boss. It was Roger, right?
Yes, Sterling.
Roger Sterling. He was the guy that just was, like, he had the Tyrion kind of, the quick, the just, the zingers, just, like, the drive-by quotable lines. So maybe this person is coming because you really do need it, or someone like Varys. But you're right, you can't have everybody in the first scene.
Right.
And they're not interesting yet if they're kind of lurking in the shadows. So it's hard.
Now it is, there is the trademark Game of Thrones violence. And, you know, for people who are sensitive to that, you know, you will not enjoy this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, you got to watch out. And it's definitely not something to watch with your kids, you know?
No.
There's all kinds of, it's on HBO.
And I hide my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but Elizabeth, but we do have to mention the wigs.
Yeah, even before it came out, I think you and I were talking about the fact that everyone has this, as you say, silver hair.
Yeah, it's the trademark Targaryen thing.
Which basically doesn't exist in nature, I don't think, or very few people have it. So everyone on the show seems to have a wig. I don't know if some of them are dyed. And that is distracting. I keep telling Sarah, because she hasn't watched it yet, I'm like, the wigs are going to bother you, but just push through, please.
Right.
And then you were saying one of your podcasts was talking about this.
Yeah, no, they have a whole segment called Wig Watch, which I thought was a hilarious name.
It cracks me up.
I have to say the wigs didn't bother me as much. And I think it's probably because your eye is just more trained to like look for these like little like, is this working? Is this working? Probably just even unconsciously, you're just so much more attuned. You have a more perceptive eye. Where I'm just like letting it wash over me. But it does become a little, well, like that child, I don't want to spoil, but like the child that's walking with the king, her hair, you're like,
that hair,
on a little kid, that kind of hair looked kind of odd.
But yet it was so striking. I have to say, then I started kind of falling in love with it because it's all just part of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think about like, oh my God, that must have cost so much. And they had the scenes where where the two young women were sort of praying by that huge ring of candles.
Yeah.
I just thought, boy, that looks like it must have been difficult to do.
Now, what makes that difficult?
Oh, I don't know. Just like you have to be somewhere where you can have all those candles going. I mean, that alone requires like the fireman to be there. And
Sure.
You know, although as someone pointed out on one of my podcasts, they look like they have bonfires in their chandeliers. So I guess they are used to dealing with fire. But on Fantasy Island, that would be a lot to do.
It was interesting because they were all kind of guttering. And I was like, that's hard because how do you get them like blowing but not blowing out?
Yes. No, again, my eye was like, interesting.
they do all this. And so it's like, the candle work was amazing.
Yes, exactly. But yes,
like the little things. If there's no one appreciates,
if there's anything the they know how to do, though, I'm sure it's fire and candles and torches. Yeah. So anyway, I'm excited to watch. I'm bummed it's once a week, even though it's kind of exciting that it's once a week. I would binge the whole thing, you know, in 24 hours if I could.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be watching. Now for a spotlight on a tool. Elizabeth, we're going to return to something we want to remind everybody to do this. We got to remind ourselves. And, you know, talking about the summer of health made me think of this. And also my nap today reminded me of this. Because 22 is our year of hashtag rest 22 and 22. And it's important to rest. And I have to say that adding a nap to my day when I can, I just do it when I can. Mm-hmm. So I don't even monitor it. I don't even, like, if I can't do it, I don't consider it. It's just like some days I can, some days I can't. I love my nap so much. It's like the biggest treat. And I really do think it helps me be more productive and creative and concentrate and focus afterward. I really do think it does. But it's just such a pleasure. I would do it even if it didn't have any effect at all. Just because it feels so good to lie down and close my eyes.
Well, for me, the rest 22 and 22 thing goes to you say all the time, something, if you want to do something, put it on the calendar. I feel like I don't have my 22 minutes on my schedule, and therefore I have a harder time remembering to do it. I should
maybe because
do that.
My nap is like it's like yes. I know where it would fit into my day. So even though it's not officially scheduled, it's kind of obvious where it slots in.
Yes.
And there's kind of like I'm not going to do it too early and I'm not going to do it too late. So that's interesting because it's do you feel like we're entering into Q4?
Yes.
Or right? Do you want to try putting it on the calendar?
Maybe I should. Like what time do you nap? Around.
I nap after lunch, but before 4.
Okay.
Because I think if it's after 4, it might start. It just sort of doesn't work. But maybe napping doesn't work for you. Maybe you want to just like take 20 minutes and just, I don't know, like put your feet up and listen to a book.
Interesting. Yeah.
You love audiobooks.
Yes, I do. Maybe I should try to put that on the calendar every day.
Do you have lunch every day? Like, I don't even know what your calendar is.
Well, right now my schedule is very open.
Is there a time when you naturally feel like a lull or like where you just have that feeling of
probably around like 4.
Lassitude?
4. 4. I would say. Yeah.
Well, you're later.
Stay up later than you do. So yeah, maybe at 4. My problem when I nap is I am someone who will nap. Like, it's hard for me not to then just sleep for 2 hours. I love napping.
So maybe what you do, so it's 22 and 22. So 2 + 2 = 4. So maybe at 4, you just listen to a book for 22 minutes. Okay. And maybe you sit up so you don't actually fall asleep. Because it is unsettling to go into a long nap. It can make you groggy. It can mess with your sleep. Yeah. Like I can sort of naturally nap for like 22 minutes, bizarrely. But so maybe for you, it's better not to actually try to do any kind of sleep, but just, you know, have that moment of peace and just relax your body and relax your mind.
All right. I'm
going to 4 every day.
Try that at 4 o'clock. All right. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. Okay. And so for other people, if you need a jump start, because it's true, it seems like a lot of people have like kind of struggle with this more than kind of walk
more
20
than
and 20
walking
or read
for
21.
Sure.
Yes. It's funny. Now you see why people, it's like, why do people have a hard time resting? Because they have a hard time resting.
Yeah.
The jumpstart for rest, if you go to happiercast.com/rest, there's a jumpstart that's meant to kind of help you, you know yourself better. It's a bunch of tools to help you get started or get back on track if you've fallen off. So, interesting, Elizabeth. We'll have to see how that works for you.
Okay, Gretch. After the break, we're going to talk about what makes a great sequel. But first, we will take this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/happier. That's StoryWorth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Elizabeth, right this second, I am wearing my sweater from Quince. It's the Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweater in Everglade green. It feels so great, and it came in so many gorgeous colors. I love this green.
Yeah, Gretchen, I got the same sweater in white, and I absolutely love it. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Gretchen, you know, I love to socialize, but I need to do it in a way that's good for me, that doesn't drain my battery. And therapy can really help figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, so that you're not just spending out too much of your social energy.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GretchenRubin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GretchenRubin. Okay, listen, more quality screen time. We got a lot of happiness from our screens lately. And you had a very interesting insight that I wanted you to elaborate on about the movie Top Gun Maverick, the sequel to Top Gun.
Yes, which has been a huge blockbuster this summer. You and I saw it. Our whole family saw it.
Yeah, separately.
Blast,
but yeah, we all saw it.
But you and I were talking about how, like, to me, this is the perfect sequel. It's almost like they put it through a sequel machine and came out with the perfect sequel.
Now, so you said that, and I wanted you to expand on that. Like, why is it a perfect sequel? I don't dispute that, but I don't have the chops to understand why that is.
Okay, well, I think they were really, they kept, like, the opening sequence was, like, very, very similar to the original, which, again, I think it, like, gets you in that mood for Top Gun that you were in, you know, however many years ago. They kept 80s music, which I thought was really interesting. Rather than doing music from today, they did 80s music, which, again, I think young people can enjoy because it's fun and maybe more different for them. And then, of course, those of us who are around for the original love hearing the 80s music.
I
thought the way they moved Tom Cruise through his career, you know, the character of Maverick was really smart, that he was still sort of distinguished, but still like the Maverick.
Yes. That's a perfect way to put it. He was distinguished, but hadn't barely been promoted.
Yeah, he wasn't part of the system still. He was outside of the system, but yet doing some, you know, important stuff.
Yeah.
I thought the conflict, so this, for anyone who hasn't seen it, the center is really about Tom Cruise and the son of Goose, who was his partner who died in Top Gun.
And like his beloved best friend.
Yes, his beloved best friend. And the sort of central conflict was that at a certain point, Tom Cruise hadn't helped the son go into flight school. I think it was because, you know, the Meg Ryan's character thought it was too dangerous because her husband had died. Understandable. Mm-hmm. From everybody's right. point of view as a parent, you totally get that. And the son really held it against Tom Cruise, which you also understand because this is what he wanted to do with his life. So everybody was right, which is always nice.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's good conflict.
Yes. And then I thought it was really interesting. They chose to have Meg Ryan's character having died, which I thought was very smart because in the movie, there's a really dangerous mission and the son wants to be on that mission. And it's Tom Cruise's decision whether or not he is now that time has passed. And I think had that character of his mother been alive, you could never have wanted him to go on the mission. So mm-hmm, I thought mm-hmm. that was like a super smart choice. I mean, I just feel like every time they had a choice to make, they made a really mm-hmm. smart choice that didn't dumb it down. It just made it really right. good.
Right, right. Val Kilmer, the way they handled his character.
I mean,
was
that
very,
was like... great. And what from what I've heard, Tom Cruise was really insistent. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Val Kilmer in real life had throat cancer. So he... can't talk really very well. And Tom Cruise was absolutely insistent that he have a real part in the movie. And he has a great part that's really significant and it's executed yes. beautifully. Yes. So again, I'm like, they nailed it. You know, I was just so impressed.
But Elizabeth, you know, you're part of a sequel. Fantasy Island is a sequel. It's often called a reboot, but it's not a reboot. It's a sequel. So explain
That's
the difference
true.
Between what is a reboot, what is a sequel, and what is your philosophy of like when you bring something back? Because it's like there's so many things now that are coming back.
Yes.
Some are well done, some are not so well done. Like, yeah. how do we think about this?
Yes, it's true. A lot of people call Fantasy Island a reboot. We say it's a sequel because we're just following the timeline. Like in our
yes.
world, Mr. Rourke, the original host that everybody knew, was the host. He died. Now his great niece, played by Rosalind Sanchez, is the host. And we acknowledge like all the stuff that came before.
Right. Like she has his chair and everybody's like, oh, it's such a big deal that she
yes.
still sits in his chair. It's not like she's the new Mr. Rourke. She's like
yes.
the descendant of Mr.
Exactly.
Rourke and doing the same and kind of in a mystical way.
Yes. And there was the famous character of Tattoo on the original.
Yeah.
And we've addressed that in our own way with our Tattoo
right.
character. And I mean, I like that because, of course, to me, it's like if you love the original, you want to sort of acknowledge it, right?
Right.
And I think a reboot would be, it's as if that other show like would just existed on a different plane. So, for
right.
example,
yeah.
Bel Air right now is a hugely successful reboot on Peacock. And it's a total reimagining of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, which is why it's called Bel Air mm-hmm. instead of Fresh Prince. It's an hour. It's a drama. It deals with like very topical issues. It's sort of deep family conflict and drama, whereas the original Fresh Prince was much lighter and was a half hour sitcom, you know, starring Will
right.
Smith. So both can be great.
Yeah.
It's just, what are you doing? And one thing that I find really interesting, and I know you do too, Gretch, is this idea now that television is just picking up with the characters 15 years later.
Love it. Sex in the City.
Will and yeah. Grace did it. I think
yes.
there's a lot of talk that Frasier might do it.
Yes.
And as someone who loves those characters, it's like just so fun to go back to them.
Well, and you see that in movies too, like the what is it, Before Sunrise, Before Midnight.
Yes.
Those... I think it's fascinating. I love it. Now, what do you think about prequels? This is the last thing I want to say about this. It's like, okay, so House of the Dragon, also, what's the Lord of the Rings one? The Rings of Power, also a prequel. Don't you have problems with, I mean, everybody says the problem with a prequel is people kind of know what happens. Why do a prequel instead of a sequel? And or is this just because of the those are based on underlying stories and by the creators, and it's just like there's more stuff in the background than there is in the future, so that's where they're building their story.
Yeah, well, I think if a prequel comes far enough before the original, then it doesn't feel like you know what happened. Feels like a totally
right, that's
different
true.
story.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
true.
Clearly what Game of Thrones wanted to do with House of the Dragon. It's like, you know where it gets to eventually, but you don't know enough about the details to make it feel like a rehash. But I think the reason for a prequel often is just like, if it feels like the sequel would have to use the same characters.
Oh, right.
But you, you know, they're not available. You don't know where what's going to happen with them. Then you go to the prequel. And obviously everything isn't going to work for a prequel. I think Game of Thrones, look, if House of the Dragon works, I'm sure we'll get other houses.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love a sequel. I love a prequel. You know, bring it on.
Bring it on.
All right, Gretch, what is our quotation today?
Okay, this comes from Frank Stella. In 1964, he said, "I knew a wise guy who used to make fun of my painting, but he didn't like the abstract expressionists either. He said they would be good painters if they could only keep the paint as good as it is in the can." And that's what I tried to do. I tried to keep the paint as good as it was in the can.
Nice.
So, Elizabeth, are you feeling happier, more happier?
I am feeling more happier, Gretch. Nothing makes me more happier than talking about TV and movies.
Yes.
Thank you, Chuck. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter, @GretchenRubin, and I'm @ElizabethCraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com. And for everything related to this episode, links, photos, and more, go to happiercast.com. Bye, Gretch.
Bye, Elizabeth. The best time to start a happiness project is 20 years ago. The second best time is now. So, Liza, are you going to watch Sunday night? Is that what you said? You're going to try to watch it, like, do you watch it live or do you just try to watch it that
not
night?
Not live, but I will watch Sunday night for sure. I'm
and
in.
Is that just so because you don't want spoilers and all that, or you're just...
Yeah, I don't know. I just like to see it when it's out. But I'm still searching for friends who are into it, Gretch. Right now, you're my only House of the Dragon partner. So you need to watch it Sunday, too.
Okay, I will. It's a fun Sunday night thing to do. We'll do it and we'll talk about it.
From the Onward Project.